Well, good morning. Me and Tim are recording this in the afternoon, so it's a bit weird to say to Tim, good morning, but I'm presuming that some of you are going to be listening to us at breakfast, so I'm going to say good morning to you
in a
nice, happy, jovial way. Thanks for joining us. I hope your breakfast is tasty, and we're so pleased that we're able to be coming to your ears this morning as part of our midweek podcast to you. This is NBC Connect with myself and Tim. Say hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
He said hi, Tim, which is very good of him. We were so pleased at the weekend to have a couple of hundred of you join us for our service, which again, as we said last week, more people than are in our congregation, which is always exciting to see.
It's great.
And we loved having your feedback from it. We loved seeing the photos that you sent in. So do keep sending us in photos. We haven't had any really strange locations that people have watched yet, have we?
Well, I guess it's quite tricky in that most people are at home now, aren't they?
Well, our homes have got lots of places that people could watch, I'm sure.
Find a room that you don't normally go in and watch it there.
Send us a photo from it and we will have a good chuckle between ourselves.
Actually, the room that you always close the door on whenever somebody comes to your house because you don't want them to see what's inside it. Go into that room.
So it's either the garage or...
Yes, or just a room which is full of all the junk. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it, to see what junk we've got around?
We wanted to remind you that at the weekend you can catch up with us on YouTube. Well, you'll find us on YouTube. But also, if you don't want to watch us live when we go out on YouTube, then you can catch up via our podcasts. They're available through our website, www.newcastlebaptist.org.uk, or you can find us on iTunes. And I'm pleased to now say, as of an email I had a few minutes ago, you can find us on Spotify as well. So if you have a Spotify subscription, then you can find us on there as well.
So always worth catching up, Tom. It's been interesting that we've been likened to Ant and Dec, and also to Morecambe and Wise.
So who's taller out of us?
I don't know which one's Ant or Dec anyway. So Morecambe and Wise I know very well, but you're far too young to know who they are, Tom. But
yes, and I know who Ant and Dec are, so that's quite good as
We're equal. But whoever we are, we're still Tim and Tom, and we're glad to be connecting with you in this way. Thank you for taking time out.
So last week we shared with you about the Good Sam app, and I'm not going to say it's directly as a result of our podcast, but I'm pleased to say that over 500,000 people signed up to the service, which is just quite extraordinary, really. And this week we wanted to highlight something that's a bit more local, a bit closer to home, that you can get involved with. Support Staffordshire have set up an online website where people from Newcastle-under-Lyme and Staffordshire can offer their services to the most vulnerable people in our community. You can sign up to that online through www.supportstaffordshire.org.uk. And it's just a way for us to connect with people who maybe aren't connected to us as a church, who their first thought wouldn't even be to set foot in a church at even Christmas or Easter, who might be feeling isolated at this time. And it's a good way for us to offer support to those who need it most. So if you want to sign up to that, head to the website and we'll try and send a link out to you via email as well.
And we're also exploring ways to be part of the response in this community as well. We're in touch with the MP, who is trying to find ways forward to involve the voluntary sector. So we'll keep you in touch with that as well. Yesterday I had a phone call from a lady who lives away who was concerned about her daughter living in Newcastle, who's very unwell. And so straight away we were able to link up someone from the church here to contact her and to provide some food for her, which was getting increasingly difficult. So things are happening, and I think they'll happen even more. So if you're prepared to do some voluntary work, please let us know, and we can put you on the list of people available. Thanks to those who already have, and we'll keep you in touch with any practical things that can be done in our local community.
So, Tim, you've chosen today's kind of passage for us to look at. Do you want to introduce it to us?
Yeah, so I've been thinking a little bit over this past couple of weeks as to what difference can we make, what impact can we have. And I think it can feel a bit frustrating to find a way to support, and particularly with all the restrictions as well. We're a little unsure as to how to respond. But I think the most important thing for us is to be ready to stand in the gap, really. To be the sort of person, the people who can make a very significant difference in the lives of many people. This idea of standing in the gap is an Old Testament idea that comes in several places. But I wanted us to look at a New Testament example from Jesus, really, as to what it can look like for us to stand in the gap, to actually be proactive in making a difference to people's lives. So, Tom, you're going to just read us a few verses from John chapter 13, just to introduce this little idea to this morning.
So if you have a Bible, yeah, turn to John chapter 13, and I'm going to start reading at verse 2. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him.
So I think this is probably quite a familiar passage to many of you, and obviously as we come towards Easter week, starting on Sunday with Palm Sunday, it's one of those dramatic incidents that is part of this whole journey of Jesus to Jerusalem and to being the ultimate gap filler, if you like, through the cross. But I think this shows us something really significant about what Jesus invites us to do all the time, of course, but now maybe particularly at this time of crisis, that we too can be reflecting what Jesus did on that night as he got up from the table. I think the first thing that strikes me is that Jesus did what needed doing. Now, this story is set in a particular cultural context, obviously, that we don't do a lot of foot washing in our culture, although we're very happy to introduce it when we get back to being the church together. But in those days, of course, then it was the done thing. Whenever you had guests in a house, then you would provide the facility for them to have their feet washed. And normally you'd have a hired person who would do that. And so before someone came and sat at the table, you would wash their feet. Now, clearly in this evening that Jesus had with his friends, no one had done it. And they were all sat around the table with dirty feet. And so Jesus did what needed doing. And such a significant thing for us to think about during this particular time. What needs doing? Now we've got sort of over the initial shock of all the restrictions. And you know, it's only a week ago that we were told about the increased restrictions. Now we've got over that initial shock and we've sort of got into our own rhythms a little bit at home. I think it's good for us to pause and think about what needs doing. What are the things that we can do, even with the current restrictions? And maybe that's something just for you to think about, and maybe with your families as well. What needs doing? It might be something in the house right now that needs doing. Not to indulge yourself, but to just make sure something happens. It may be you do that on your own, or maybe you do that in the family. We're all facing some strange conditions, and whatever age you are, whatever your family situation is, things are different now. So what needs doing? I wonder, Tom, have you got any thoughts about what might be needed doing, perhaps with a family maybe, who now have their children at home every day? What are some of the things you think need doing when you've got kids around?
Oh, goodness. Wow. Well, when you think about what goes on in a normal school day, you have all of the things that go on behind the scenes that you just don't imagine. The fact that bathrooms become full of tissues that have missed the bin, and you've got all the cooking that needs to happen and the help. I think it's just one of those things that there's going to be so many situations that come up that we just can't think about. We can't even imagine. I don't have kids myself, unfortunately. Well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, I think it's really hard for me to actually answer this question.
Yeah, but it must be so different, mustn't it? You know, to suddenly have your kids at home, and for the kids as well, man, this is quite weird, isn't it?
Oh,
being
totally
at home and trying to study as well and trying to learn. And if you've got primary age kids or secondary age kids, then the issues are quite difficult. And so we want to just cheer on you as a parent, particularly facing these challenges, because, you know, it must be one of the toughest things to do. My son Carl lives in Finland. The school shut down a couple of days before our schools did in the UK. And we've Skyped him a few times, and it's clear that he's under considerable stress trying to teach his seven-year-old daughter the things that he's being asked to teach them. So we're very aware, for many of you out there, this is really challenging times. And we just want to say to you, we're cheering you on. We're going to stand in the gap for you. But do what needs doing. Don't get burdened by this. Just do what needs doing. When Jesus was washing their feet, it was a simple thing to do, but nobody was doing it. But do the things that will count with your kids during this time.
And hopefully, this is going to pass.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't going to be a permanent solution to a problem. Some people might say your kids aren't going to be staying at home with you for the rest of your life. And this is a temporary thing. And this is something to realise, that actually it might require us to be totally sacrificial for whether it's a few weeks or months. There is going to be a change in how we act. But the sacrificial way that we serve our families, our children, is going to be challenging for us. But I think this story, this event that happened in Jesus's life, just really begins to show us just a glimpse of the love that we should be showing for people. I was interested to read that this is likely the first time when we see someone who is a superior serving someone who is inferior to them. There were people who noted that there was a rabbi, and the mother, he didn't let his own mum wash his feet, because it was such a demeaning position. And some of you might be beginning to rip your hair out at your children. You might be saying that they're just causing trouble all the time. But the way to turn it around is to say, actually, this is a time to kind of sacrifice all of those niggles that we might have with people, with the kids, with maybe it's parents, maybe it's parents-in-law or whoever, and to actually try and approach this situation as Jesus did, with pure love in this situation.
And this is an ongoing challenge as well for not only those who are stuck at home, but we're aware that many of you are still working as well, because you're in key positions in our community. And for those of you who are teachers going into school, for those of you who are involved in the health service and going to work, those in social care, we're so aware that this is an incredibly challenging time for you as well. And you must have some mixed feelings about all of this. I know that you're driven by your compassion for people and your desire to serve. And we, again, we're cheering you on in doing that. But of course, underneath all that is an increasing awareness of some of the risks that are involved in terms of health and with this virus. And I think that's another challenge, to get up from the table and do that. What is propelling us to keep on doing it? And so I want to assure you that we're standing in the gap for you as well every single day. And we want to encourage you to keep doing it, because you're making such an amazing difference at this particular time. And so we're going to continue to intercede for you, and because you're doing what no one else is doing. It may be the shop workers, there's several of you working in supermarkets, and we just want to say thank you so much for doing what needs doing at this particular time, because you're making an amazing difference.
There are many people out there who may have abandoned their family.
Yes.
And there's people whose marriages might be in trouble because of this, because they're being kept apart from one another. And as Tim's saying, we really want to just urge you that we are praying for you, and to try and stay connected to each other even through this really difficult time. For some people, they may be called to pay an even higher price than that. I read this week a story of someone that had effectively given up their life to help a younger person survive as ventilators were being passed around in Italy. Now, I have to hope that we're not going to come to that, but I can remember preaching last year on this thing of greater love has no man than this, than to give up his life for his own friends. Now, in this story here, Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, and that's a small sacrifice compared to the one that came for him, but it's a foreshadowing of what was going to come.
And it is this idea of putting down your own agenda, your own safety sometimes, your own pleasure, and picking up what needs picking up. And I think we just want to urge you, to keep on doing what you can, whatever age we are, whatever our circumstances. Some of us are at home all the time, maybe isolated now, but do what you can to stand in the gap on behalf of others. I think that's God's call to every single one of us, that all of us are able to do something that makes a difference in kingdom terms. So stand in the gap. Maybe it's doing something and you're able to do it. Maybe at home with your children or with your relatives, or whether it's in the workplace because you're still working. Stand in the gap, see what needs doing, get up and do it. If you're at home, sense what God's asking you to do. Make a phone call, drop a text to someone, FaceTime somebody, pray for somebody. Stand in the gap because you will make an amazing difference. So get up from the table, pick up what you need, and bend down and wash somebody's feet, and you'll be making the most incredible impact in terms of what God has to do during this particular time.
Verses 14 and 15 from this passage as we come in towards the end. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I'm reminded as we talk about this of a man called Jim Elliot. I'm sure some of you know his amazing story. I find him one of the most fascinating characters I think I've ever read about. But he said this: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And I think that's a brilliant message for us as we think about what this sacrificial love looks like, what washing other people's feet looks like at this time.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, as well as praying for one another in this and our own situation, we're also aware that we have mission partners around the world who NBC supports on a regular basis and we keep in touch with, and we want to try and remember those people in this as well. We don't know all the circumstances that they're facing at this particular time, but we can guarantee that there are some very, very extreme challenges that all of them are facing right now. So just to remind you of the people who we're supporting, we want to just stand in the gap for Paul and Grace and their work with OMF in the UK. We want to pray for Liz and Sergio and their family in Mozambique. We want to pray for our partners in Afghanistan at this particular time and all that they're going to face and the challenges they have as they come to the end of their time there and their plans for the future. And also for Adam and Manami in Japan as well, who no doubt will be facing similar challenges to us at this time. So we stand in the gap for them, and we stand in the gap for one another today and for our nation at this particular time.
Now, I would like to continue us thinking about our mission partners by introducing you to a very special guest who's coming to us live-ish from South Africa. Some of you know my sister Rachel, who's been living and working at Live Village in Durban. She's been there for a few years now, and I think she has an interesting perspective to add to this idea of standing in the gap. So I'm going to try and connect to her now, and then we'll have a little interview to find out what's going on in South Africa as we speak.
Hello!
Wow, that's not your normal voice, is it?
Not really. I'm excited!
Good. Well, we're really excited to have you join us. I can't believe that this is possible, that you're in South Africa and we're here in Newcastle-under-Lyme, but we're able to have a phone call. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about how things are going on in South Africa at the moment? What's the current situation like?
A bit crazy, to be honest. I feel like we're like a week behind where you guys are. I'm following very much what's happening in the UK. But at the moment in South Africa, we're on our own lockdown situation. It feels a little bit more intense than the UK. We've got military on the streets monitoring our lockdown, and basically extreme measures have been taken because of the way South Africa works. We've got a lot of people living in informal settlements and things like that, so it's really hard to contain a mass virus like this, so quite extreme measures have been taken. So on the village, that means that there's no movements on and off site. All our deliveries are being sanitised before entering, so all our food is going through an absolute process of cleaning before it comes on site. Yes, it's all a bit crazy. All has blown up within the last couple of weeks, really.
Much as it has over here as well. That's quite incredible. I think we haven't quite got to the stage of sanitising food yet, but goodness. Sounds like a bit of a different lifestyle, though, from what you were used to.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've been there for a number of years. I suppose I'm thinking, what did a day look like for you before, and what does it look like now?
So my role is with the discipleship school, so it's a gap year programme, essentially. So we have 15 students up until last week when one chose to go back to the UK to be with family. So my role looks like being with them, helping out with teachings and their programme on the village. They're basically volunteers that slot into life on the village, so... they'll be doing things in the school, doing youth groups with kids, helping with sports, doing sports themselves. They do assignments. So, yeah, I'm just one of the leaders for the programme. But outside of that, I'm a part of the youth group side of things on the village. I have my own small group of teenage girls, and I have some families that I'm very close to, some little ones that if you've known my journey with the village, you'll have seen their faces many a time and heard me talk about them a lot. So yeah.
So it sounds like you've been quite busy with all sorts of activities normally, but clearly everything's changed in the last few weeks. Me and Tim have just been speaking about this idea of standing in the gap where needs arise. How have you found standing in the gap being in South Africa where you're based?
Yeah, it's quite funny. That's actually put language to a lot of how I've been feeling recently. And I feel like this isn't always right, but it has felt like at times in the last few weeks, I've been standing in the gap of the Indian Ocean between South Africa and the UK, and just bridging, I guess, what I know is going on in the UK and what is happening here, and having an awareness. 13 of our students are from the UK, our gap year students. So there's been a lot of, I guess, constant prayer and awareness of what is best for the students, and standing in the gap for them in terms of researching what stuff looks like and what lockdown influences in terms of them being able to reach family and flights and this, that and the other. So there's been a lot of that, supporting them with all the emotional turmoil that comes from what everyone's processing at the moment with Corona. So I guess that's an immediate change. But in terms of the children on the village, all schools in South Africa, it's almost, I guess, law, like in the UK, all schools cancelled, and we're on a 21-day lockdown. So for 21 days, that means like literally everything organised is stopping. So in terms of the kids, we have to figure out what life looks like for them. We've got about 200 children on the site who live with a foster mum. And yeah, it's just mum and up to seven kids in a house with mum.
Well, we were talking a moment ago about how difficult it might be for parents who have now got to be at home with maybe one or two kids. But when you say you've got a couple of hundred kids, that sort of puts things in perspective a little.
Yeah, and we're all within one boundary, and it's kids with quite complex needs coming from backgrounds that they've come from, some with health problems, well, a lot with health problems, and behavioural challenges, to put it in language. So yeah, there's lots to bear in mind with them. So I guess personally, I'm just trying to keep up with the kids that I've got really strong relationships with, and just help mum where possible. And I think with, at the moment, so much has been stripped away, and like freedom by its old definition looks like it's completely been smashed. But I think on the village, and what I'm seeing in lots of other spaces as well, like freedom's coming to have a new definition. Like we're going back to things that we used to love but didn't have time for. And it's like thinking of what can I do rather than what can't I do. So a relationship that can be maintained or built on, or this space that has now been cleared out, how can I fill that?
Well, it's been amazing to see in the UK that the thing of doing pub quizzes from your house or playing board games over the internet, it's just been remarkable to see how people have come together. Now, I'm aware we can't stay chatting forever, however much I'd love to. Is there anything we can be praying for? Are there maybe three prayer points that we can hold and pray into as a church family here at NBC?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is just the safety and health protection of the village. As I touched on, just we've got a lot of kids here with health conditions, and Corona plus those conditions is not a nice cocktail of things going on. So we are doing everything within our power and human strength and wisdom to try and protect the village from getting Corona, hence the intense levels of lockdown. So yeah, I think just prayers for that. That would be the first thing for our mums as well. We've got a lot of mums with health conditions that, yeah, would also really struggle with the virus. And then kind of following on from that, the second thing is just wisdom for anyone in a position of responsibility, leadership, whatever you want to call it. Just that we'll be listening to God and we'll be using our sense, not burying your head in the sand of either naivety or, like, I guess, falsely placed faith that, like, things are just going to be okay, because what we're seeing all over the world is that actually things are really hard. And yeah, so I think it's just wisdom for what to do if Corona came, but also whether actually we need to, yeah, how to implement things here and now. And then I guess the final thing would be, like, what to do in this space. And I guess that's what we're all thinking about at the moment, is like, how can we use this time that we've got and the way the world has kind of come to a pause? Like, how can we use this time to build on things that can be built on, to reevaluate the ways in which we've done things? Yeah, just prayer for, like, wisdom and inspiration, what to do where we are right now, how to seize opportunities.
I mean, that's amazing. I'd love to pray now, if that's okay. Yeah. I'd love to pray a prayer over the village and over the work that's going on there.
Thank you.
So, Father, we pray that you'll protect Liv Village from the coronavirus. We pray that you'll be with each of the mothers who are looking after those 7 or 8 kids. We pray that you'll be speaking to them through your Holy Spirit. You'll be enabling them to have wisdom when difficulties come. And we pray too that you'll be working with the leaders, that you'll be promoting wisdom in them, that they should be wise in their current situation, but also wise if things do worsen, or how to make things turn around when the opportunity arrives in a few months' time. We pray that you'll keep the people who are working with the children and those who are on the Live for Change project, keep them listening to you, Lord. Help them to focus their attention upon you and what you're wanting them to do. And we pray that you'll help them to know what they should be doing in this space, in this gap almost that's been created, Lord. Help them to know that they're doing your work in standing in the gap. Help them to know your love at this time when it feels so difficult to sometimes see you. But really promote yourself to them. Keep us focused on you. And I pray a blanket of protection over everyone at Live Village, Lord. We ask all of these things in your name, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Rach, it's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. Do keep in touch. We'd love to have a chat with you again in a few weeks' time. Otherwise, I'm going to say thank you and au revoir.
Bye.
So thank you, Tom and Rachel. That was great to hear that up-to-date, first-hand news from you. And we'll continue to be standing in the gap for Rachel and all those who are serving in many, many different places at this particular time. We're going to just come to a time of prayer as we conclude this podcast today. And you might want to just pause and just join us in this prayer as we link our hearts together and we stay connected to one another today and each day to come as well. So we want to pray for people who are infected with the COVID-19 virus or who are facing quarantine today. Jesus, during your ministry on earth, you showed your power and caring by healing people of all ages in all situations in life. Be present now to people who need your loving touch because of COVID-19. May they feel your power of healing through the care of doctors and nurses. Take away the fear, anxiety, and feelings of isolation from people receiving treatment or under quarantine. Give them a sense of purpose in pursuing health and protecting others from exposure to the disease. Protect their families and friends and bring peace to all who love them.
Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
And we pray for people at higher risk of developing the disease. Dear Lord, we lift to you our concern for people who are more likely than others to become severely ill from COVID-19, the elderly and people with chronic health conditions. Protect them from harm and be their comfort in this time of uncertainty and, for many, preventative isolation from loved ones.
1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
And let's pray for medical professionals, caregivers and researchers responsible for fighting the new coronavirus. Father God, as more people get sick, healthcare workers and first responders are working longer hours with fewer supplies and with more risk of contracting the new coronavirus themselves. Renew their energy and sustain them on long shifts. Bring a protection upon them as they work with patients. Multiply their supplies so they have the protective items needed to stay safe on the job. Inspire and invigorate the research doctors developing better tests to diagnose the virus. Create vaccines to prevent it and identify protocols to eliminate the disease's spread.
Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Let's pray for leaders responsible for making decisions about the new coronavirus. Father, we seek your wisdom daily. Be with people making decisions that affect the lives and futures of our families, communities, countries, and the wider world. We pray that they communicate clearly, truthfully, and calmly with each other and with the public, and that their messages are received and heeded. May truth and empathy be the touchstones of people setting policies for our protection.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers.
We pray for families adjusting to new ways of life. Holy Spirit, as families adjust to everyone being home, as businesses and schools close, we ask that you guide people in their new realities. Give spouses grace for each other. Prompt worn-out parents to speak words of kindness and encouragement to their children. Help children find creative ways to experience the beauty of all you have created and to continue learning.
In Psalm 57, verse 1, it says, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed.
We pray for business owners and families facing financial stress. Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness in how you've guided and equipped people in their jobs and have provided in the past. It can be scary and overwhelming not knowing how bills and obligations will be met or to not be able to provide for families. As people feel financial strain during the uncertainty, bring them comfort and peace, reminding them that you are there for them. Provide for them in their times of need.
John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
And we pray for grocery shop workers and delivery drivers. Lord, we are so grateful for all the people who continue to work each day so that people are able to eat. We ask that you bless and protect them as they serve. Give them grace to handle disgruntled customers during supply shortages. Keep their bodies healthy as they unload and stock boxes of supplies. Keep their cars and lorries running smoothly as they deliver needed supplies and food people have ordered online. And please protect them all from contracting the coronavirus.
Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Almighty God, we know that everything is in your sovereign control. We ask that you keep this new coronavirus from continuing to spread. Give government officials the ability to safely handle people arriving from other countries. Help people decide to stay home instead of travelling or going out needlessly. And Holy Spirit, remind us to wash our hands properly. And while it may be heartbreaking, comfort families as they decide to keep their distance from elderly or other high-risk family members.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea.
Amen. Thank you so much for being part of this podcast. Do keep in touch with us. Let us know if there's anything we can do to help. And if there's anything you want to input to our podcast, then please let us know that as well. We appreciate the fact that you've taken this time to listen, and do keep connected to one another. And let's reach out to others as we have opportunity to do that.
Join us on Sunday at 10:30 on either our website or through our YouTube page. Just search Newcastle Baptist Church on YouTube to find last week's service, the week before service, and also Sunday service that's coming up at the weekend. So that's at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Or you can catch up afterwards via the podcast. And of course, you can join us next week as we have a little chat, although it's going to be a little bit different next Wednesday, isn't it?
Well, Tom, we've got some things planned for Easter week, which we will let everybody know. So please keep an eye on what's happening. And just to evoke another great double act, Tom, not only Ant and Dec and Morecambe and Wise, but it's goodbye from me.
And I'm supposed to know what comes next. Is it and goodbye from me? No.
Goodbye from him.
Goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
See, I'm sorry. May God bless you. May God bless you and your families. And may you and all of us know God's blessing at this time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.